Blog Talk Radio.
I had myself on mute. There was a person that popped up on the board, and I was telling them thanks for chiming in, but I had myself on mute, so I apologize. So if you heard the music kind of like drop for a moment, because I had you in the green room for a minute. Okay, so good evening and welcome. The time is now 6.04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.04 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is the 14th of August, 2021. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you. I hope you're having a great day. And enjoy the rest of your weekend, and you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Wow. We're getting into the middle of the month, and as I said, today is the 14th, and there's some topics I want to go into, some questions. I was listening to another show earlier, and it's funny that they were on some of the stuff that we're going to speak about today, and I want to get into some of it, too. Regarding the coronavirus, as we all know, that school has started back, and I'm hearing a lot of stuff from parents and from politicians and all that type of stuff. So I want to get you guys input on it, especially the parents that are listening. In fact, let me go ahead and make sure I open up the chat room so folks can go ahead and listen in through there and post their comments or questions. And by the way, if you're listening on the internet and you kind of, you know, radio shy, hey, feel free to go ahead and join the chat. Type in your questions or comments there, and I will read them over the air for you. So, wow, school is back. Kids have started back to school pretty much everywhere. And here's this debate in every city, every county about vaccinations and the mask. So, there was a lot of things that went through my mind. I'm like, wow, you know, I thought about when I was a kid, when I had to get a vaccine shot. And I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday, and I was like, you remember when you got your shot? Remember when you could not go to school unless you had a shot, which was a vaccination shot? And I bet you can look, and probably every one of you had that one little mark on your left-hand shoulder. You know, that was that little cannon that they put up against there, and they right into your arm, and you were like, ah, you know. Remember that? You couldn't debate that, right? You had to take the shot. Now, there's been measles, mumps, all kinds of diseases over the years. But we took the shot. And people are saying, well, we don't know what's in it. Did you know what was in that? And don't get me wrong, people. I'm not one to go out here and try to tell you you need to take a shot. That's your choice. That's up to you. You know, you're free to do whatever you want to. But when it comes to being out in public and around other people, and now that we have this new Delta variant, they call it a variant, that is picking up speed, I feel like the least you could do is wear a mask. If you didn't take the shot, wear a mask when you're out in public, when you're in the grocery store, when you're out around other people. You might be around someone who didn't get the shot, and you don't have the virus as of yet, but you could still get it. You know, when they made it a law to wear a helmet to ride your motorcycle, they made it a law. When they made it a law for you to wear a seatbelt, they made it a law. Ride down the street now without your seatbelt on and let an officer see you. And he's going to write you a ticket. That's about $65, $85, maybe $100, I don't know. May vary. But they're not giving out tickets for not wearing a mask. It's just a precaution. That's all it is. I don't leave my house without wearing a mask because it has been proven that some people have contracted the virus who did get shots, granted. Who've had the shot, got the virus. But fortunately for most of them, they didn't have to, well, they're not in, like, grave danger at the moment, you know. Fortunately. Sad thing is when I hear stories about folks who were so against it and they got the virus and are on a respirator and in the hospital. I'm like, well, give me the shot now. It's too late. That's the sad part about it. That is too late. And again, I say, everybody has a choice in this matter. You have a choice if you want to take the shot or not. But I feel like, all due respect, not knowing who has it and who doesn't have the virus. And sometimes folks can have it and not even really have the symptoms. And seeing that it's still growing with this new Delta variant, wear a mask when you're out in public, when you're in the grocery store. You ain't going to be shopping there for 8 hours. Just wear the mask. You had to do it last year. I mean, that's just my point of view. I'm sure some folks may have a different opinion, and we're all entitled to it. That's just my point of view until we know better. And then the thing that kills me when I hear these arguments about it, well, this is America. In America, we do what we want to do. Ain't nobody going to – the virus is not – I mean, this virus don't give a damn about America. Keep in mind, this is worldwide. From the United States to South America to Africa to Australia to China to Japan to name them all. Canada, this virus is under every rock, has been under every rock and has killed people all over the world. There are countries that are begging for the vaccine. Look at the Olympics. They still pulled it off with no fans in the stands. Well, that's a whole different story, but we know why they had to pull it off. Look at all the money that was involved. That's one issue. Too much money involved. We can't let no COVID-19 stop the money. Though they lost probably a lot of money when it came to selling tickets. Yeah, of course. Television, advertising, all that type of stuff, all that money was on the line. They had to get something out of it. So, you know, if you guys got something to say about it, go ahead, hit the number one if you have a question or comment on this. I want to get into this topic. Because, as I said, I'm looking at these town hall meetings, and these parents are saying, let the parents decide whether their kids wear a mask. No one has asked. I haven't seen not one interview with a child. How do they feel about wearing a mask to school? Kids are smart. They're not stupid. Many kids have their opinion about this whole thing, and I haven't heard not one reporter ask a kid. Maybe you have. I haven't. But I was just talking to a friend of mine whose daughter just started school last week. She said, no, her school, they wear the mask. They wear the mask while they're in close proximity to each other in the classroom. Now, on the playground, probably different, of course. But, this is something I was just thinking about. So anyway, I see a few folks stopping in here. Oh, I have not opened up the chat room. Let me open up the chat room. Well, it's open. Let me type in here to welcome the folks who listen in the chat. Unfortunately, Janet Davis will not be able to join us today. Officer Crenshaw said he'll more than likely be in later on, and we'll take it from there. See all the co-hosts who pop up on the show. Real quick, I'm going to type in to the chat room. One moment, please. I don't like dead air, so I keep trying to talk when I'm typing. Okay, there we go. All right, so I got a co-host here joining me right now from California, which is becoming the fire capital of the world, unfortunately. Been watching a lot of these videos and seeing these. And all my blessings to all those folks out there with all these, not just homes, but communities. Whole communities are just being engulfed through these fires. And it's sad to watch. But hello to the one and only Mr. Simon Schiff. What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. I'm only going to say a little bit because I'm in the store and that I'm going to mute because I don't want to miss. I just wanted to let you know I'll be – as soon as I grab this next product, and I'll be getting up out of here, and then I'll be able to talk to you on the phone. Okay?
Okay, that'll work.
Yeah,
that'll work.
I don't want to be. I'm in the store. I'm in the store right now, and I don't want to, you know. So I just thought I'd call you, let you know I didn't forget about that. I'm just getting a little shopping out of the way before I get to the house.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Hey, we all got to eat. We all need to. And so, like, when you're in the store, you took the vaccine. Right. So do you still wear your mask when you're out in public?
Yep, we're doing it right now. I got my mask on. I'm in Target.
Okay. See?
Yeah.
You know,
I'm in Target.
That's what
I was listening to what you were talking about, and I've had that discussion full already, and I said to them, you know, hey, man, this doesn't even make any sense that you're not trying to wear a mask. It's just pure ignorance. And, you know, I've had that discussion with people, and it's just a wasted discussion. They're just, Mike, a lot of people are going to die, and they're going to die because of ignorance.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can do about it.
Yeah. Right. And you know you're shopping. But you're going to chime back in when you get done, right?
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. That's all I'm doing, grabbing what I need and I'm out.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll look for you to join back in. I want to stay on top of this, so I'll holler at you when you call back in. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, it's again, I'll say, there are people I know, friends of mine, who say, well, I won't take And I won't take that shot because they didn't test it long enough. We don't know what's in it and everything. Well, actually, they do tell you. I believe it's Moderna tells you pretty much a lot. I have to pull it up, which I'm trying to do now. But like I was speaking to someone on their show, and we were talking about the vaccines that we got as a kid. They said, did you know what was in it? No, I was a kid. I didn't have to ask. I just knew I had to take it. You know, I'm still here. And it was given to me so I could be here. You follow me? I'm still here. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I know there's some fears about it. There have been some people who have taken the vaccine and who passed away shortly afterwards. And everybody said, oh, it's that vaccine. But now, there goes another thought. When you look at television and all these different medicines that they're trying to get you to take, take Cialis, take this, take that, take a monosodium glutathione, or they'll give it some little tricky doctor name. And then when they tell you about all the side effects, and the last one could cause swelling of the tongue, the eyes might bulge, your feet may swell, and possible death. What the hell I want to take that for? If you're trying to quit smoking, they got a drug for that. And it's got a ton of side effects. I might as well go cold turkey instead of taking a chance on this drug. Now, they tell you what's in it, but at least they're honest and tell you of all the side effects. To me, it's no difference because there's a risk with everything that you put into your body. There's a risk with everything you put into your body. There are people who are allergic to some of the simplest things that we eat every day. People are allergic to milk, allergic to eggs. You know? Fortunately, they figured that out in time. And know, well, can't eat that anymore. Can't drink that anymore. But if you're not going to take the vaccine, wear a mask. It's the simplest thing. Wear a mask. All right. All right, so we're going to drop back to that topic. As I said, some of the co-hosts are going to come in a little late. Some are not going to be able to make the show. So I want to jump into another thing when we're talking about, or what they've been talking about still, and there's so much going on in this world of ours. The January 6th insurrection. And I was watching a program, and they were talking about, what was her name, Elisa, what is her last name? The young lady who got shot going through the window of the Capitol. And in all honesty, I hate that happened. I hate that anybody got harmed. Oh, my goodness, the wind is picking up here. I got a lot of pine trees around my house, and there's a lot of pine cones that just went slamming against my window. But anyway, there's a lot of folks now that are, I was watching a program and we're talking about, you know, it was wrong for her to be shot. She shouldn't have been shot. We know who the officer was. He should stand trial for murder, saying he was a murderer. Okay. Now, again, I'm going to say one more time. I don't wish harm on anybody, and I feel bad for her death, but that was her choice. That was her choice. And I've had conversations with folks, and I'm like, okay, we already know how many young men, particularly black men, who've been killed by the police unarmed, all right, just minding their own business, sitting in their car. Inform the officer, yes, I have a license to carry a gun, and died. We already know that. We already know about a person who's sitting there in their own home eating, watching their own television, and an officer walks in and shoots them to death in their own home. We know about that. Many others. There's another story about an officer killed three men in Milwaukee. Three in a 5-year period. Three. One was 17 years old. And the district attorney said there's nothing to see here. It was justifiable. But then a defense attorney did something that is very seldom used and went back and investigated all the shootings and in Milwaukee. I don't know about it in other states. And this area is called, it starts with a W. What was it? I got to pull it up here. I apologize. I just ran in just before the show, actually. But anyway, she used a way of bringing it to a district court judge to evaluate it or to look at it. And the judge said, oh, yes, there's reason to believe we need to investigate this. And it went to the grand jury, and he's going to be tried because there's a videotape. How many times have we looked at videotapes and we were told, don't believe your lying eyes? That's not real, what you're looking at. The dash cam from the officer's car, you can't believe that. No. You got to think about the fear the officer was in. Now, granted, in this situation, that individual did have a gun, but it was sitting on the passenger seat. And that officer, and you can look it up. You can look it up. In fact, I'm trying to stay on the phone line and also pull it up here so I can read you some of the backstory on it. But when you look at how often an officer really uses their gun for lethal force, it's what, maybe 98%, 99% for lethal force, just the average officer. They don't shoot their gun every day. This guy killed three people in a 5-year period. That's not normal. And you can go to YouTube and pull it up. The officer's last name is Mesa, but it happened in Milwaukee. And I'm going to try to find the name of the town. And his testimony was this individual reached for the gun and pointed at him, and so he had to shoot him. Well, that's not correct, because according to when they were looking at the video and when they did the autopsy, the bullet wounds did not jive with what the officer said had occurred. This guy was shot in the side of the head, the back and the side. Had he reached, and the officer was on the passenger side of the car, had this individual reached for a gun and raised it up, he would have been facing that officer, correct? Well, the bullet should not have been in the side of the head or the back of the head. It should have been straight at the head. See, that's that BS. The bullet should not have been in the side or the back of this gentleman's head. It should have been straight into the front of his face, his head, his torso. But they weren't. And I want you guys to look it up. Take a look at this. And I'm going to follow this case. I've made it a point to start following these cases that get drawn out and drawn out and drawn out, you know, till everybody forgets. You know, the ones that we remember are the ones where we do the protests and everything. But there's some we never even hear about. We never even hear about because it didn't happen in our city or it didn't make the national news. But to be honest, this shit happens every day somewhere in America. It happens every day. It really does. Sad situation. But back to what I was saying about the insurrection. So now they want to make the young lady like a martyr. They showed a photo of a gentleman in Congress who had a band on his wrist in honor of her. She's former military, you guys. I'm sure you know that. Former military. Many people in law enforcement, many of them that I know at least, are former military. She should have known better. She didn't break the glass. She was the first one to climb in. Now, here's what I want to get to. Those people went up there and said, this is our house. This is our house. You know, the government works for us. Okay. All right, so I want to read you guys something real quick. I'll try to make this fast as I can. It says, on January 6, 2021, your assigned Detective Scott Brown was on duty in performing my official duties as a Metropolitan Police Department detective. Specifically, I am assigned to Narcotics and Special Investigation Division and detailed to the FBI Safe Streets Task Force. So just assuming that when that rally was going on, you know, he was looking around because I saw another officer was saying that they were just looking for suspicious people, you know, that might have a weapon on them or this and that and the other. Since January 6, 2021, your assignment has been tasked with investigating criminal activity in and around the Capitol grounds. The U.S. Capitol is secured 24 hours a day by U.S. Capitol Police. And by the way, the reason why I'm reading this is because I said, well, wait a minute, was the Capitol open that day? So now, to go forward, only authorized people with appropriate identification are allowed access inside the U.S. Capitol. Restrictions around the U.S. Capitol include permanent and temporary security barriers imposed manned by U.S. Capitol Police. On January 6, 2021, permanent and temporary security barriers were in place to separate areas where lawful First Amendment activity could be conducted from areas restricted, both to prevent any adverse impact on the legislative process and to safeguard and prevent property damage directed at the U.S. Capitol and West Front inaugural platform. See, remember, the inauguration was coming up, so they were building the platform, the stage, right? These security barriers include bike racks that were positioned to the north of the U.S. Capitol along Constitution Avenue, to the south of the U.S. Capitol along Independence Avenue, to the west of the U.S. Capitol along First Street and the east side of that street, and on the east side of the U.S. Capitol between the Capitol Plaza, East Front, and the grassy areas located between the plaza and First Street. This bounded area is hereinafter referred to as the restricted grounds. Within the west front of the restricted grounds, there were additional temporary barriers due to preparations and ongoing construction for the inauguration, including green snow fencing and signs stating, quote, area closed by order of the United States Capitol Police Board. Let me say that one more time. Okay. Barriers due to preparations and ongoing construction, they're still building this, for the inauguration, including green snow fencing and signage stating, quote, area closed by order of the United States Capitol Police Board. Quote, the exterior plaza of the U.S. Capitol also closed to members of the public. Now, I'm looking at a picture here, and you can pull this up. You can go to justice.gov, and it says, the picture on the next page demonstrates the barriers that were set up around the Capitol building on January 6th.
This is a big area, you guys. This is a huge area that was cornered off from the demonstrations and marches, especially on this day. On this day where they were, you know, going through the whole vote thing, it made no sense for those folks to be there. It made no sense for those folks to be there. And I just really like for anyone that wants to debate or argue about it, just take a look at what they're telling you, what they put up. The Capitol wasn't open for any tours. The Capitol was not open for any tours whatsoever. And when you got senators saying, you would have thought it would just been a regular tour the way I see it. Ain't nobody supposed to be in there. There was no tour scheduled. I mean, just explain. I love for anybody who supports this whole thing and claims it was not an insurrection. Please explain what was wrong. And this is documentation right here that I'm reading. It said the Capitol was closed. Now back to the young lady. She broke in. She crawled in through a window. She had no business. She had no business even on the steps, let alone climbing through a window. She had no business on the grounds beyond the barriers. None of those folks did. And again, I'll say, and I truly mean it, I'm saddened that she lost her life, but that was her decision. She broke the law, and I'm just getting sick and tired of folks trying to say that, well, that was, they shouldn't have shot her. Well, there's a lot of people they shouldn't shoot. There's a lot of people dead that shouldn't be. But if you're breaking the law, if you're trespassing, that might happen. We all know that, right? That might happen. Unfortunately, it happened to her. But now they want to make her a martyr. And keep in mind, she's ex-military. She should have known better. You got all these senators in the building. You got the vice president of the United States, the second in charge in the building. And you break it in? What did you think they were going to do? Shake your hand? According to Donald Trump. Oh, it was a love fest. They were hugging and kissing. I ain't seen not a damn bit of video that showed me anybody hugging and kissing each other. At all. And I'm waiting to see that. I'm waiting to see the hug and kissing video. I think time to chime back in. I'm not sure if I went ahead and opened his mic.
Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah, man, I just got out of Target, man, on my way. You know, they know that they broke the law. And, yeah, homegirls, you know, you can feel sad for her that she got shot. But, hey, you stormed the Capitol. And let me tell you, if those are black folks, if those are black people, hey, they would be dead. A lot more of them would have been dead. I can tell you that right now. Especially if brothers was beating people and they'd have been shooting folks left and right. And I guarantee you, the National Guard wouldn't have taken hours to get there. They'd have been there and lickety-split. But you got to understand that Donald Trump orchestrated the whole damn thing. That's why it took so long, and that's why it was able to be done. That's why they don't want a commission, because it will show that the the Congress, the Republican Party, was in on it. Okay? Those that believe that the thing was stolen, they were all in on it. Donald Trump was the orchestrator of it. He started it. And all those guys, that's why they don't want Rudy Giuliani and everybody to speak, because if they do, these guys are going to spill their guts. It was a coup. They were knowing, they were planning a coup to destroy this country. And that's what happens when you got a guy like Donald Trump in charge. That's what you know, because white people saw him as this thing. Men saw him as this masculine, macho, machismo crap that they've been buying into, because they won't allow you to fuck over people, you know, excuse my language, not to mess over people anymore. So they're pissed off. You know, they're mad because, we can't say this no more. No, you can't. You can't grope women. You can't just grab people's asses. You can't call people the N-word when you want to. Yes, he's gay. It's okay for him to be gay. If you don't like it, yeah, you got non-binary. And yes, you know, you got mad because Mr. Potato Head got to change whatever. And, you know, you don't know what the hell. But just, hey, man, it just doesn't matter. You know, that's what happens when you ask for freedom. But, you know, Mike, you know how I feel. Freedom ain't for everybody. Some people don't deserve to be free, because that means they're free to be an idiot. And they're free to do dumb stuff, like believe that you can storm the Capitol building and walk through with a goddamn Confederate flag and think that it's okay. There's nothing to see here, folks. No, that ain't what you saw. Yeah, that's what I saw. You know, and now you're mad because people aren't buying your crap no more.
Exactly. And that's what irritates me is the ignorance. The total ignorance, blind leading the blind. You know, they always say that the blind leading the blind, which Donald Trump is blind because he didn't know what the hell he was doing, president, right? He didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Right.
And I've looked at a lot of stuff, and I'm serious. I've looked at a lot of stuff. None of it was edited or anything. Some of the comments he would make when he's talking to world leaders, some of them would look over like, what the hell did he just say? He didn't know what he was talking about. You know,
he was able to tap into something. He tapped into something in this United States, and he tapped into that behavior that they all felt like. Remember, whenever people don't think that their life is going well, what do? They blame other people. It's somebody else's fault that the reason why. Now, they didn't want black people to do it, but white people always tell, just like they say what? Oh, if I put this mask on, you're taking my freedom. Oh, you know, look what you're doing to me. No, I'm just asking for a mask. That's all masks you do. You know, but they take it into a whole new level, like somebody's doing something to them. Nothing's being done to them. What they're trying to do is we're trying to prevent a virus. And the only reason why the virus keeps mutating is because of those that are not vaccinated. It will keep getting stronger because why? We're not protected. But then once you get in the hospital, now you say, oh, save me, save me, save me. Oh, give me the vaccine. Give me the blah, blah, blah. No, bro, you can't get the vaccine. You didn't want to do it.
It's not going to help.
And let me tell you, man, they're not going to.
And like I said, I've watched some nurses, and these are not Republican, Democrat, or whatever. These are just everyday people. In fact, I saw one who is a Republican who voted for Donald Trump. And she said she's just so burnt out working, you know, 14, 15 hours and seeing people die. And just like you just said, folks who were so against it. And like I said, I'm not here to tell people you need to get the vaccine, you need to get the shot. That's up to you. That's up to you. I'm not going to even ride that train. It's there. It's available. You want to take it, take it. But when you go out in public knowing that this is a – but let me finish, though. So when you go out in public, you can't not touch, see, or smell this. When it hits you, it hits you. And like you just said, once it hits you and now you want to change your mind, it's too late. Right? It's too late. You can't change it now.
Right.
But if you go out in public and you don't want the shot, wear a mask. Try something. That's all you got to do. And I just don't understand the ignorance of people. Just wear a mask out in public. As I said earlier in the show, they made it a law for you to wear a seatbelt in your car. Get caught with it on, you're going to get fined. They made it a law for you to wear a motorcycle helmet. Don't have it on, in pretty much every state, you're going to get a fine. There's a penalty for everything. But you're not going to get a ticket or anything for not wearing them. That's open to some states. But you look at some governors, look at Florida. I'm not going to do a mandate anymore. Well, if I'm a business owner, I should have the right to say, you come to my restaurant, you're going to have to wear a mask until you eat. Or show me proof that you got it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the world, not the America. Let's not get it twisted, because everybody wants to say, oh, America, this is America. As I said earlier, this is happening all over the world. You get on planes, you travel to another country, you come back, you go to this country and come back with something. So, you know, it's the chance that you're taking for yourself, you're taking it for a lot of other people too. And that's the thing that I don't like, is that people are willing to risk other people's lives. It's just like if you know you have AIDS and you go sleep with somebody and they die, you could be charged for murder. You know that, right? You there? But anyway, some years ago, there was a story about a person who knowingly had AIDS, and they slept around with a bunch of folks, and I think one of them died. I don't know how many, but I think I'm pretty sure one did. And when they found out, wait a minute, you knew you had it, and you still, he was charged for murder. Almost the same thing as like if you got the virus, I said almost now. You go around folks, that's almost like murder. If they catch it and die. And again, my question is about the kids in school. You know, how come no one is asking the kids how they feel about wearing a mask?
Well,
Simon, what do you think?
You know, Mike, they don't really have to, in my opinion. I believe, you know, I have friends who have children, you know, and mm-hmm. they just, because when you're out here in Orange County, California, you know, you got people talking about they're anti-vaxxers and they don't want their kids, you know, wearing masks and all this stuff, you know, and I'm sitting there going, man, what, you know, what is this that y'all don't understand? Why do you believe somebody's taking something from you? We're just trying to stop a virus. That's all we're trying mm-hmm. to do. And everything is about behavior. When a person loses their money, Mike, it's because it's about whatever their behavior was on how they lost their money. Not just the fact that they just lost their money. They had a certain behavior. You know, the certain thing. They either got greedy or they acted a certain way. We are getting viruses because of people's behavior, because of their mm-hmm. selfishness, because they have no humanity. They don't care. You know, if you cared, it wouldn't be a problem to put a mask on. I don't want nobody telling me what I got to do. It's not, no, wait a minute, bro. It's not about what we're telling you. We're just trying to save some people. And then you don't. And then mm-hmm. you heard about the man who QAnon told him to do it. You heard about that, right?
Yep. QAnon.
He stabbed his three kids, took them to Mexico, and left them in a hotel. He stabbed all three of them, Mike. You hear me? That's why I'm saying this QAnon and flat earth stuff and, you know, anti-vaxxer crap, this shit's out of control, man. These people are crazy.
Yeah.
How you gonna go? And then you gotta call your wife and tell. And let, no, he killed two of them. The newborn, the wife had.
Oh, okay.
How you do that, Mike? Huh?
Right.
How you tell somebody that the reason why you that the reason why I'm going to kill my kids is because the QAnon told me to do it? I mean,
well,
you're still going to jail.
Yeah, I look at that as being a modern-day Jim Jones. I always go back to Jim Jones because when I think about that whole thing with Jim Jones, it boggles the mind. I mean, granted, it boggles the mind how someone, one man, could have enough power over hundreds and hundreds of people's minds and convince them to sell everything that they own. Remember that? They sold their homes, they sold their cars and everything, and went down to Jonestown to live in the jungle. There's no way in hell you gonna convince me. Man, come on. There's no way in hell you gonna convince me to quit my job.
And Mike, that's why
sell my, let's say I have a $100,000 home. Let's say if I had a $10,000 car. You know, I got my wife and kids, and this one man is gonna say, sell it all and come live in the jungle. And I'm eating sandwiches and drinking Kool-Aid. That's going to kill me. Tells you something about the people that are following Donald Trump today.
Right. Charles Manson.
Yep. Charles Manson. Though he didn't kill anybody, but he was the leader.
Nope.
He was not on scene, but they found out he was the leader. And that's the thing I'm hoping they find out in this situation. You know,
Mike,
as we spoke
I'm
about
telling
this
you, Mike,
before,
they already know. Telling you they know he was involved. They are trying to hide it. A lot of them were involved, Mike. You ain't even got to search no more. They know who did it. Ain't that hard. That's why Nancy's sitting back.
Uh-huh.
That's why Nancy's sitting back watching.
All right, so now let me ask you this, because I'm going to switch gears in a moment, because, by the way, for all you listeners, I decided to do something a little bit different this Saturday in the second hour. You know, I got to thinking about different artists and their longevity, and Keith Sweat came to mind. So in the second hour, we're going to do a little tribute to Keith Sweat because he just celebrated his birthday a couple of weeks back, and got to give the brother a lot of credit. There was a lot of haters on Keith, but, man, you look at from his beginning to now and now that, you know, concerts are opening up again. Already he's got an itinerary out of this world of different shows he's going to be doing. In fact, he'll be doing one here in Atlanta pretty soon. Like in another couple of weeks or so. But anyway, we're going to get into that in the second hour. But back to what you were saying about they already got it. But look at people who were accused of things like a Bill Cosby, went to jail, found out that, wait a minute, that's double jeopardy, right, based on what was agreed upon in the beginning, right? That's what it comes down to, what it boiled down to. And people are mad. Bill Cosby's out of jail. This man is, I mean, Bill Cosby ain't coming back to television anytime soon at all. I doubt it. But this was a case, which we already talked about, this was a case, and all the other individuals was based on years back. Don't get me wrong, I'm not justifying what he allegedly did, but he agreed to, you know, to go ahead and give his deposition, and just one individual, though she was already paid millions of dollars, testified, right? Bill Cosby goes to jail. Here's the former president of the United States. There's almost an equal amount of women who have said that he did the same thing to them, basically. And we got him on tape saying what he can do. We got him saying, you can grab him by the PUS. I mean, he openly said, yeah, basically saying, yeah, I'd do that. And then you got the porn star and the other woman and said, yeah, he did that. How come nothing has, you know, stuck with that? What's your answer to that? How come that hasn't gone forward? Or are they just like, okay, well, that's a small change. We're waiting for the big stuff. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, you know, Mike, I believe that, one, you know, I don't know if you can call it racial. I don't know if you can, you know, go that, you know, that far. But depends on who their lawyers are, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe Trump's lawyers are better than Cosby's lawyers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it's race. Some say no. It's, you know, just the way the cookie crumbles. But I don't know, man. I can't call it. Now, will I say that this has been that talk about Cosby has been around for years? Yes. Mm-hmm. People have been talking about Cosby doing what he was doing for years. Now, what is it coincidence or whatever that they went after? Because see, this was something. This wasn't just a thing. People have been talking about Cosby, and it was on Google that you could have found that Cosby was accused of rape, as they said. That's true. He was, years ago. And he had
mm-hmm.
not been to jail because he had beat the cases. But because of Hannibal Buress and your boy Howard Stern and those guys, who they hated Cosby, they brought that stuff right back up. And he got it. They got him. You know, they got him.
Mm-hmm.
So is it right? I can't say that. I can't say, you know. Did he rape those women? I don't know. But was he putting mm-hmm. And he even made comedy about Spanish Fly and putting it in people's and doing that stuff. So they got him talking
mm-hmm.
about it. I think he brought and did now. Did he cheat on Camille? Yes, he did. Was he a big, you know, was he a hound? Yeah, he was. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
But Camille was never going to leave him. What was she going to do? She's part of a generation of women that didn't leave their husbands, no matter what he did, no matter how much time. Even if he'd have beat on her, women didn't leave their husbands, especially when your husband for the last 15, 20 years was the number one entertainer in the world. Nobody.
You know what that makes me think about? But that makes me think about, and I'm sure you've heard these stories where the wife, unfortunately, she's a victim, you know,
uh-huh.
maybe verbal abuse, physical abuse, you know, even like the stories you might have heard where you might see a couple fighting out in the parking lot. You go over there to try to help her. Next thing you know, they're both whooping your ass. You know,
right.
He don't punch her out, lights out, and then she's like, no, you don't put your hands on my husband. You know, now him and her are whooping your ass. You know,
right. Oh, yeah.
I hate him, but
I
love him. Huh?
I've been in that situation before.
Yeah, you try to be a sister and to be like that. Who are you? Well, he just punched your teeth on the ground and your mouth is bleeding, but I was just trying to help you pick him up now, okay? So, you know, but that's the type of situations that you see. But I know what you mean about Camille really had nowhere to go. Now, she probably could have sued him, but we don't know what the marital agreement was and this and the other, and that's how come, you know, I'm
well,
sure
her parents,
back then.
I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know this, but her parents did not want her to marry him.
Yeah, you told me that, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her parents didn't want
yep.
nothing to do with Bill. She thought Bill, they always said Bill was going to be problems. And maybe her daddy saw something that somebody else didn't see. But he always
or Bill said something. Right, or either Bill said something that didn't rub right with daddy or mama, either
could
way.
Be.
It didn't. Yeah, it could be a variety of things, right? That's speculation, but yeah, but like you said, but they didn't really want her to fool with Bill at that time. Let's see, the time is now.
She came from a prominent home. Bill came from a poor home. She didn't. She came from middle class.
Right. Exactly. And so, as we wrap up this portion or this segment of the show. Let me ask you this. I'm trying to remember the senator. His last name starts with an H, and they really had him on the radar because if you remember the day of the insurrection, I believe it was the day or the day before, he walked across the Capitol steps and he gave a thumbs up it's not Hartley, it's something. It starts with an H.
Holly,
right, Holly. Haven't heard anything from him lately.
Nope.
Won't. And many of them, right, many of them who were in the, you know, the spotlight and in front of the cameras, all of a sudden they're like Casper. They're playing ghosts. What do you think is going on?
Well, you know, Mike, they can't say anything because the gauntlet is coming down. You know, mm-hmm. They better get busted, bro. All of them better lawyer up. All of them will be lawing up, buddy. Because
you think this will happen? Do you think this will happen before the midterm? In fact, that's really my question. Do you think, as they say, the shit will hit the fan, or that, you know, the prosecution, let it be from New York or whoever else, is going to put all this stuff out there prior to the midterm election?
Well, yeah.
Or do they have time?
Also, they might, but I also understand that Rudy Giuliani, he's connected to this. All these people are connected. If you connect the dots, everything leads back to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the lie was Friday the 13th, August 13th, Trump was supposed to retake the White House just yesterday.
Right.
That was supposed to be his day.
Right. Yep, that's true.
What happened?
Right.
Okay. He coming back. That lets you know, I'm telling you, where we are. And I really believe, Mike, I hope people are doing it. You got to make sure that you got your ducks in a row so you can be able to deal with the insaneness of our society. When they talk about a divide, the divide to me, from what I've seen, is just ignorance. It's people buy into stuff. Like they claim that if you say critical race theory, all you're going to do is talk about race. No. We're not just talking about race. I mean, a lot of them don't even know what critical race theory means, okay? But what it definitely is, it's going to expose the history of the United States and how things evolve. That's what you want out of history. How did it get that way, and where is it now? How did people – that's my thing. When you want to look at history, look at how did it get that way. Where did it start? You know, if you say, "Oh, systemic racism," how did that happen? And then see where it started and where it is today. If you do the numbers, if you get all your research and you get to that, then you go, "Oh, okay, that's why things are the way that they are." You know,
right?
And that's what.
Yeah.
It is. But
no,
it's all
not,
American
not
history.
And everybody needs to remember, if you didn't see it, if you didn't pay attention to it. When Black Lives Matter went to the Capitol, they never stepped on the steps. You know why? Because who was on the steps? The National Guard.
Right.
And they never wanted to. They never wanted to attack the building. They were just peaceful protesting.
Well,
now, granted,
they tried to make a comparison.
Right. I know, and that's what I'm leading to. They try to make a comparison. Well, they've been doing it. What about the marches in Portland and the businesses being burned down, this and the other? Well, hello. Take a look, which there's plenty of video. Those were not Black Lives Matter supporters. There's a couple of them I've seen where there was these white girls who were spray painting places and breaking windows and everything. You know, and even the Black Lives Matters marchers said, "No, wait a minute, y'all don't represent us." Now, they were smart enough not to go and put their hands on these individuals. But see, that's what you do, or that's what they do. They go and disrupt a peaceful protest and blame it on the peaceful protesters. Right?
Which they were hired to do. By,
mm-hmm.
I believe, and there again, I believe they were hired to do, because Trump would hire people to go and march. and he would hire them to also start stuff, too.
To disrupt, right. Oh, I believe that. Now, you know, I have a friend of mine, he says, oh, I believe in conspiracy theories. I said, well, that's one I do believe in because I've seen the video. I've looked at it. This was not something that was made up. This was not done on a, you know, as a movie. It shows these folks that are right there busting up stuff and spray painting and everything. And the folks who are really marching for the cause are like, whoa, what are y'all doing? Uh-uh, y'all don't represent us. That's all they kept saying. No, they don't represent us. But they didn't, you know, attack them, which, you know, we're always known to attack folks. They would think that, oh, well, you know, here's some white girls doing this. Those black folks probably would attack them. No. They're like, uh-uh, we got on video. That's not us. But you didn't see that on the news. There was only one incident I remember seeing where there was a fire started, and they actually had this woman on video of her actually starting the building on fire, put in like a Molotov cocktail type thing. She was white. She wasn't black. Okay? So whenever you say Black Lives Matter, it's not black people doing all the damage and everything. There's outside sources, like you just said, that will use that banner and make it look worse than what it is, or cause things to happen, and then you blame it on the black community. You know?
Right.
But when you look at, as I said, when you look at where when they marched on the Capitol, you know, they had the military there on the steps. There was no problem. There was no insurrection. There was no breaking of the glass. There was no one got shot. No one, you know, inside the Capitol or around the steps of the Capitol. None of that happened. But in this case, and I'm glad that they did find many other people and arrested them. And like when I watched the first opening remarks about the whole thing and the four officers, sad thing is that where here are people who were in that building that day and actually spit on those officers' testimony. I actually said, they're lying. Really? They risked their lives to save you. And they said it many a times. And then I saw where folks were posting saying, oh, well, they're reading scripts. Oh, yeah, they wrote down what they want to say. They're not going to just come off the top of their head and just blah, blah, blah. They wanted to keep it in a you know, where it's like, these are the points I want to get to, right? That's what you do. You write down the points you want to get to for the amount of time that you have. Oh, that was scripted. This is sad. Look at America. You know, y'all look at the video. That man is being beaten, and someone grabbed his gun, and people were saying, shoot him with his own gun. That's scripted. That was an act. They were just joking. Just like when Donald Trump would say certain things, oh, he was just saying that in jest. I don't know any president that would say something like, I can go down 40-something Avenue and shoot someone and people will still vote. Whoa, you could shoot somebody and still get votes? Think about he said that before he became president and the things that he said afterwards. We are definitely in a bad situation here in this country, and I hope, I truly hope, that come the midterm, America, I really wish you will wake up. Donald Trump is the leader of the party right now. And he will be. He's muscled his way into
the GOP. They've already said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the leader
of the party.
He's the leader of the party. The ex-president is the leader of the party. What's so funny is that all the other ex-Republican presidents don't want to have a damn thing to do with his ass. That speaks volumes. They don't want to have a damn thing to do with him.
But that also lets you know where the people's head is.
Yeah. Sad situation. All right, now, Charmin, I don't know if you can hang out a little bit longer. I'm about to go ahead and crank up the second hour, get into this tribute to the one and only, the legendary Mr. Keith Sweat. I believe in giving flowers. And as I said, I'm going to go into
some of his background and everything. And as I said, many of us, I won't say us, I'm not going to say me, but many people hated on Keith when he first came out. But that brother, to be honest, great singer, great songwriter, great producer, great artist. And we're going to get into a lot of the music. I'm going to tell you guys a few of his background. And then I have a clip. I had to think about, do I really want to play it? And I'll probably play it right after this first song. I've heard many, many pranks before. Now, I love the prank shows. I love, like, of course, you know, Ricky Smiley does the phone pranks. Roy Woods and Nephew Tommy. And I've heard folks just lose their mind on these pranks. But they pranked Keith one time. This brother was so smooth. I mean, I was like, wow, I don't think I could have took that. And they tried their best to get him to act like a fool, but too smooth. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. Thank you, Simon, for the first segment of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. The time is now 7:08 p.m. It is August the 14th, 2021. And if we can get through this year, I mean, we got through last year with the pandemic. We can get through this year and everybody get on board. You know, everything might be all right. We'll be right back after this music break.
Let's make it last.
Yeah. Welcome back to the TMGS. That's Keith Sweat with Make It Last Forever, one of his first hit singles. And today what we're doing is just doing a tribute to Keith with all his great music. In fact, I shouldn't say all his great music. If I played all his music, we'd be on the air for over 2 hours. But there's some songs I was able to pull up and some I wasn't. But let me give you a little bit of information here from Wikipedia. Keith Douglas Sweat, born July 22nd, 1961. Well, he's 1 year older than I am. He's an American singer, songwriter, record producer, and an early figure in the new Jack Swing musical movement. He is known for his collection of hits, including I Want Her, Make It Last Forever, I'll Give All My Love to You, Make You Sweat, Get Up On It, Twist It, and Nobody. He has released 13 solo albums and 2 as a part of the R&B supergroup LSG and discovered the group Silk and Cutcliffe. You know what I found interesting with Keith? In fact, I'm going to keep on going and reading some of this, and then I'll go back to it. Keith Sweat was born in Harlem, New York City, to Juanita Thomas, a hairdresser, and Charles Sweat, a factory worker. Juanita raised their 5 children alone after Charles Sweat's death in 1973. He worked as a night stock boy at Macy's department store and then a mailroom clerk at Payne Webber, which was a brokerage firm. In just 4 years, he worked his way up to a lucrative brokerage assistant job on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Sweat also worked as a supervisor for the New York Mercantile Exchange. In 1975 through 1984, career begins. Sweat started his musical career as a member of a Harlem band called Jamila, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, in 1975. With the help, Sweat was able to hone his craft as a lead singer by performing regionally throughout the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The group was started by bassist Larry Peoples, guitarist Michael Samuels, and drummer Walter Bradley. After leaving the group in 1984 to begin a solo career, he sang at nightclubs throughout New York City and landed a chance to record for the independent label Stadium Records. Sweat recorded only 2 tunes for Stadium, Lucky 7 and My Mind Is Made Up, which was their 3rd and 4th ever release. But Stadium's first release, he is credited as a co-writer and co-producer of You Are the One for Me, the last recording ever made by the group GQ. One of GQ's original members is his uncle, Keith Sabu Crier. This is interesting information, and I got to reading it, and I was like, okay. So we starting back in the 1970s of when his dad unfortunately passed away, and then his career getting started. So 1975 is when he really got into, you know, the music thing. And then in 1987 through 1999, Make It Last Forever, I'll Give All My Love to You, and Keep It Coming. Later in 1987, Keith Sweat was discovered by Vince Davis and offered a recording contract with his label Entertainment Records, which was founded in 1983 on the foundations of early hip-hop and otherwise best known for releasing Joski Love's Pee-wee's Dance in 1985. Ventertainment was distributed by Elektra Records from 1985 until it ceased operations in 1990. On November 24, 1987, Sweat released his debut solo studio album, Make It Last Forever, which sold 3 million copies. The biggest hit from this album was a song that inaugurated the new Jack Swing era, I Want Her. It was number 1 on the R&B charts and number 5 on the pop charts, which was nominated for the 1989 Soul Train Best R&B Temporary Song of the Year Award, while the title track from the album hit number 2 on the R&B charts. Sweat reached the charts again with his second album, I'll Give All My Love to You. That was in 1990, which hit number 6 on the Billboard 200 chart. Number 6 out of 200 songs? That's up there, y'all. He released his third album, Keep It Coming, in 1991, which debuted in the top 20 of the album chart. Wow. Interesting. I'm going to get back to more of the years of Keith Sweat's music, but I had to think about this if I wanted to play this clip, but I'll tell you, I had the honor of meeting Keith, and, you know, he's just a really cool guy. Now I want to go into the haters. You know, when Keith Sweat first came out and the music he was doing real love songs. Seriously. Women swooned at his concerts, and they still do to this day. He was doing love songs, but fellas, you all were hating. They were like, oh, man, he begging. I don't know many brothers who didn't have a Keith Sweat CD or cassette back then. We had cassettes still. They didn't have that in their car at their home, because most women would be like, you ain't got no Keith Sweat, ain't nothing happening. I'm just saying, okay? But Keith was hot. He was bringing out stuff left and right, boom, boom. You know, the first album, hit after hit after hit after hit off that album, you know, and then he backed it up more and more. And over the years, he continues to still sell out the arenas. That's longevity. And that's why I said I want to give a tribute to a gentleman who is, to me, is one of the most calm individuals I've ever been around. I mean, like I said, I've been in his presence like 2 times, and just how calm he is, soft-spoken, you know, a great entertainer. So with this being said, I said, well, I remember when he was pranked, okay? And I think that was one of the best pranks ever. And I want to share it with you guys. I hope I don't get in any trouble for doing so. Let me pull it up. But this is one of the best pranks. As I mentioned earlier, who was it? There was Roy Woods would do phone pranks. And also not just Roy Woods, but you had Ricky Smiley, which would do pranks on his show. And then you have Nephew Tommy. He pulled off one of the best pranks with Keith. And I want to go ahead and play that for you. So sit back, listen, and laugh. This is Keith Sweat being pranked.
Hello?
Hey, I'm trying to reach Manny. Is this Manny?
Nah, this ain't Manny, man. This is Sweat. Who's this, man?
Hey, this Raheem, man. Wow, this is what, okay. Hey, Mr. Keith, we got people down here. You're supposed to be here at that record store, man, right here in Harlem, and we got people wrapped around the building. You're supposed to be here signing these CDs, man, but it's been over an hour. These people have been standing here waiting on y'all.
Yo, man, I don't know nothing about no record store, and number two, I don't know nothing about doing no signing, man. Who set this up, man? I don't know.
The name I was given was Manny. Who was Manny?
Manny's my road manager, but he don't set things up, man. He's a road manager. He's not my manager. He just handles my stuff on the road. But I was never told I was supposed to be nowhere to do anything, man. I mean, normally when somebody tells me and them have an understanding that I book what I'm supposed to do. So I don't know nothing about this, my brother.
Okay, well, you know, we got to get this taken care of. We got people wrapped around the building. We got a table here laid out. We got pens and everything for you to sign these CDs, man. We got over 100 people outside the store.
My brother, nobody told me about no signings or no nothing, man. I mean, I don't know nothing about no signing, for real.
Okay, well, are you hearing what I'm saying to you, man? We got people outside the building waiting for you to arrive to sign some CDs. Now, what I'm supposed to tell these people?
Yo, I don't know what you're supposed to tell them, man. I mean, you know, and it's kind of like you raising your voice, dude. I don't know who you are calling me like this. I told you, man, I didn't set nothing up, man. And, you know, I mean, I don't even know who gave you my number. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't handle it.
All this information was on the fax machine. I got this as a contact number. Manny is the person I was supposed to be talking to, and Mr. Sweat was supposed to arrive here at 12 noon. Now here it is. It's 1:15, 1:20, man, and you ain't here. And we got people wrapped around the building. We've been advertising this for the last 2 weeks. I mean, the album dropped
my
today.
Brother, I don't think you. I mean, no disrespect to you, but I don't think you hear me, man. I don't know nothing about a signing. If I knew about a signing or knew I had a signing session, I wouldn't have the people sitting around or standing around like that. That's not what I do. But no one informed me that nothing like this was going down today. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Okay, but look, man, now that you realize people are here waiting, what are you going to do? What am I supposed to tell them?
Man, there's nowhere in the world I can get down there and do a signing at this time, late time right now, man. I mean, you
but
know.
You need to get your bag in that. You need to try to get yourself down here,
hold
man.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, what did you just say? I think you just called me out my name or something, man. What did you just say to me, man?
No. I'm saying you need to try and come on down and sign these CDs for these people, man. These people are here. They're waiting in line. They've been waiting over an hour on you. Now, this not going to look good. This is the date.
We got your
CD almost on every show, man.
I'm feeling you, and I understand now. I understand what you're saying to me, but there's no way I can get down there, man. You just going to have to reschedule it, so we're going to have to reschedule this. I apologize for the, you know, misunderstanding, but bottom line is I knew nothing about this.
Hold on a second. Mr. Anderson. This is Mr. Sweat. He's saying he don't know anything about being here. I'm telling him we got people all wrapped all around the building. He don't care.
Yo, dude, I didn't say I didn't care. I said there's nothing I could do. I didn't set it up. I didn't say that, man. Don't put words in my mouth, my brother.
What do you want me to do?
All you got to do is reschedule it for another time, man. That's what you do.
Hold on, man. I'm talking to my boss. I'm trying to figure out how to get. We got people finna get mad, man, because you're not here. Okay? Now, whoever Manny needs his... Whoop, man. He does.
Yo, I don't know nothing about that, man. I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. All I know is that nobody told me about that. You know, I'll call Manny and I ask who set this up because I don't do things unless I know where it's coming from.
There ain't no way you can get yourself
hold
down
up, hold
here.
Up. You keep, first of all, man, you don't talk to me like I'm your child, man. You keep saying there's no way I can get my, you know, back up on what you're saying, dude.
Hey, man, we having a problem. This is supposed to be one of the biggest days of our record store. We got your CD on every shelf, and you just so calm and collect, like it's not a problem with you.
No, what I'm supposed to do, man, when I didn't know nothing about it, I understand it's a problem because it made me look like I'm a no-show. But, dude, I'm telling you again, I knew nothing about this, man.
Hold on 1 second. Take all his damn CDs off the shelf. Every last one of them.
Yo, I don't know what you're talking about, man. You losing your darn mind right now, man. I'm not trying to disrespect you, dude, but you really losing your mind right now. You doing something you ain't got no business on, man. I said reschedule the situation, man. You know, tomorrow, the day after.
How are we rescheduling when the album drops today,
yo,
man?
Okay, well, there's nothing I can do about this, dude. Nothing.
Sound like you raising your voice at me.
I ain't raising my voice, man, because now you disrespect me. You don't call my phone going off like I'm somebody's child, like I'm your child, dude. Man, you don't talk to me like that, man. Come on.
So you can't stop what you're doing and bring your butt down here to the record store.
No,
so we think people won't be
what I'm doing. No. I can't stop what I'm doing, man.
So what you doing right now that's so important, you can't come.
Man, it ain't none of your business what I'm doing right now, dude. I'm saying I knew nothing about this, man. So I'm not going to keep going back and forth with you like I got to explain to you why I got to stop what I'm doing to come down there. I knew nothing about it. It's not my fault, dude. You need to take this up with somebody who scheduled this because I didn't schedule it.
There's a right and a wrong way to look, a right and a wrong way to do somebody, Mr. Sweat.
Oh, man, come on. Now you reciting my songs, man.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Okay, no problem.
Songs.
I'm just
going
to go out here and tell everybody in the line, Mr. Sweat don't want to come, okay? And I'm taking all of the damn CDs off the shelf because you don't want to stand up and be the celebrity that you're supposed to be.
Man, okay, now you know what, man? You do what you got to do, man. At this point, you do what you got to do, man. But, who am I talking to anyway?
This Raheem, man.
Raheem.
I work here at the store.
Okay, well, I'll see you, Raheem. You go ahead and do what you get ready to do, and I'll come and see you, dude.
What you mean you going to see me? What that mean?
I'll see you. Yeah, I'll see you. That's what it means. I'll see you.
Okay, because the bottom line is, man, Tommy said you was going to come. He the one said you was going to come sign.
Tommy who? Now you, Raheem, Tommy, who the hell is the Tommy?
Tommy, man, nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Swear I got your
boy, man, you know what? Man, y'all tripping, boy, for real. And you don't even understand what you give me makes me do. You crazy, boy.
I mean, you know what I mean? Y'all don't have anything better to do than call me and mess with me, man.
I knew the album was dropping, man. I said, I'm getting it today. You good?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. Boy, you crazy, boy. Oh, man, let me get off this phone, man. Y'all do what y'all do. Boy, you don't even understand.
Oh, sweat, man. I had to get you, dog. Look here, you know, I know you got your show, but you got to tell me what is the baddest radio show in the morning.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, man. Get off my phone, nephew Tom.
One of the most classic pranks of all time, Nephew Tommy pranking Mr. Keith Sweat. And like I said, cool, calm, collected. I expected, you know, some MS or something like that. But like I said, really a cool brother. But we'll be right back with more music from Keith Sweat, more information, tribute to Keith Sweat, and some concert dates I'm going to announce for you guys. So if you're in the area, if he's coming to your area, get your tickets now. We'll be right back. Here's Keith Sweat with a collaboration with the one and only Silk. This is TMZ.
Yeah, this is for all the dope honey. I got it going on. Oh, yeah, here we go. Your sex got it going on. Oh, yeah, your sex got it going on. Here we go. Your sex got it going on. Don't you know? Your sex got it going on.
Your body, tell me you're woman too. There's a many nasty things I wanna do to you. Shake you up and down and around and around.
Come here.
Oh, but I love and mine could never ever be found. Now you see me and baby now you know. Pass up on me girl, just give me what I want. The very last drop. Oh, no, 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 honey. Don't you ever, ever stop. Feel like you never did before. Oh, here's the key, baby. Now open up the door. Now you see me, baby, now you don't. Oh, come on, honey. Just give me what I want.
Yeah.
That's Keith Sweat
with Silk.
Oh, that's Silk
featuring Keith Sweat, and also on vocals, that's Gary, a.k.a. Little G Jenkins. Bet you guys forgot about that track, huh? Yeah, Keith has collaborated with many artists over the years, and that is one of my personal favorites. Now, unfortunately, I was not able to get every Keith Sweat song. Like I said, I would be on air for maybe 3 hours if I played all the hits, but I grabbed some of the most liked, you know, and some of my favorites. It was one I was trying to get, but I couldn't get a hold of it. But I'm going to get back to the music before we run out of time. But also what I want to do is give you more information. Let's see, I'll end it with 1987 through 1991. So let's go to 1992 through 2001. Get up on it, Keith Sweat, still in the game and didn't see me coming. In 1992, Sweat discovered the group Silk and helped craft their debut album, Lose Control, which hit number 7 on the Billboard 200 album chart. The album's single, Freak Me, hit number 1 on the Billboard Top 100 on May 1st, 1993. In 1993, Sweat discovered the Atlanta-based female R&B group Cut Close. Sweat also produced the group's debut album, Surrender, which produced their biggest hit single, I Like, peaking to number 8 on the Hot R&B Hip-Hop Singles and Tracks chart. Sweat released his 4th album, Get Up On It, in the summer of 1994, and his self-titled album, 5th album, I'm sorry, in 1996. Both albums reached the top 10 on the Billboard 200. The single, co-produced and written by Eric McCain, Twisted, featured R&B group Cut Close, hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, and Nobody hit the number 3. And Nobody hit number 3, which made them Sweat's biggest hits to date. Just a Touch was a cover of the 1979 song Just a Touch of Love by Slade in the fall of 1997. Sweat discovered the group Old School and helped with their self-titled debut. I'm sorry, I lost track here, you guys. I apologize. Helped with their self-titled debut. He was on their biggest single, Am I Dreaming, which featured the R&B group Escape. Sweat also formed the R&B supergroup LSG with Gerald Levert and Johnny Gill and released their self-titled debut album Levert, Sweat, Gill in 1997. That album featured My Body, which became a hit single. The album was certified double platinum and reached number 4 on the U.S. Billboard chart. Sweat's 6th album, Still in the Game, was released in 1998, hitting number 6 on the Billboard 200 and number 2 on the R&B hip-hop albums chart. It featured the singles Come and Get With Me, which featured Snoop Dogg, number 12, Hot 100, and I'm Not Ready, number 16, Hot 100. Sweat's success on the chart started to diminish in 2000 when he released the album Didn't See Me Coming. But when you look at what Keith Sweat does now, he really don't have to release nothing new. He really don't. Keith Sweat is still in the arenas. In fact, I just saw I saw a live stream from his manager on Facebook. I believe I can't share it with you guys. I'm sorry. But he's going to be coming to a city or town near you. And before I run out of time, I want to go ahead and play some more music. I want to give you those listings momentarily of the venues he's going to be visiting this summer. All right? You know, this pandemic has really been a hell on all of us. And it's really been, you know, making us miss a lot of our great artists. This is what we do. This is what we love to do from the summertime. We love to be at the outdoor venues and enjoying a good concert in the open-air arenas. I love places like, I love the one up here by where I live, which is the Barnes Amphitheater. I love places like the ones in Atlanta. There's a few of them. There's one called Wolf Creek I love outdoor open-air concerts. In California, you got the Hollywood Bowl.
You've got the Greek Theater. You know, there's plenty of outdoor arenas throughout, you know, the country. And we missed that over the COVID pandemic. Slowly but surely, we're getting back into the swing of things. So you guys, be patient. Go ahead. If you got your vaccine shot, whether you do or don't, if you don't, wear a mask. Whatever they tell you to do, you know, try to do it in order to get into the arena and see these shows and support these artists. We're going to be right back, but I'm going to go ahead and give you some more music from the legendary Mr. Keith Sweat. Here's a favorite from his manager, Mr. Marvin McIntyre, one of my favorites too. But my biggest favorite is going to come towards the end of the show. You're listening to the TMDS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's Keith Sweat with Twisted. One of my favorite songs. Definitely a favorite of Mr. Marvin McIntyre. Hey, Marvin, how you doing? If you're listening. Let me go ahead and let you guys know the rundown. And I do believe I saw a live stream at an event that he's going to be doing. I'm not sure how. I have to take a look and see if I can pull that up. I can't share it with you. But coming up dates near me, September the 4th at Maple House Barnes Amphitheater in Mapleton, Georgia. That's just a suburb just north of Atlanta. Keith Sweat will be there at the Wade for Concert Series featuring Keith Sweat. I'm pretty sure there's a few other folks on the bill. Also, August the 20th, Twin River Event Center in Lincoln, Rhode Island. Keith will be there. September the 4th. Okay, I already said that. Let me scroll down and make sure I'm on track here. Oh, September the 5th, the next day after the 4th, the Toyota Arena in Ontario, California. Keith will be there with TLC and Jodeci. September 10th, Texas Trust CU Theater, Grand Prairie, Texas, with Groove Fest. It is a Groove Fest. September 12th, Tuscaloosa Amphitheater in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's September the 12th. October the 16th, Heritage Bank Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. All right. October the 23rd, Colonial Life Arena in Columbia, South Carolina. So you folks in South Carolina, get ready. Then, let me see, November the 5th, YouTube Theater. I didn't know they had a YouTube Theater. Well, I guess they should, right? YouTube is everywhere. Keith Sweat is going to be in Inglewood, California. Inglewood, holler at your boy. All right, California in the house. November the 26th, later on down the calendar, Grand Sierra Resort and Casino in Reno, Nevada. And then December the 8th, Sal Palayo, Paris, France. Keith Sweat, Montel Jordan, and guests. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. So that's the rundown that I found. Now, there's plenty more that you can probably Google and look for of other events and other concerts that are probably closer in your area. Look and see and go to, in fact, you know, just go to his sites, you know, Hotel Sweat, whatever. Go to his sites and see what's happening with Keith Sweat. We're going to get back to more music in a moment, but I wanted to do this, just say a couple of things. I got a person who texted me and said, Bacon Keith, and that's what in that clip that Nephew Tommy said. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you guys. If it wasn't for Keith Sweat's, as you all want to call it, begging music, I'm not going to go into all that. But anyway. I made sure I had Keith Sweat in the car, right? Because once you pop that music in, you know, music speaks. Music has a voice. Music can change the atmosphere. Music can change the feeling or the atmosphere or the mood, right? Keith's music, his songs, could change the atmosphere of the music. Or I'm sorry, the atmosphere of the situation. And one thing I noticed, and I see someone on my board, and I'm waiting for them to hit the number one to see if they want to chime in on this. But I don't think many people pay attention to the fact that when Keith did songs, they didn't all rhyme. Think about it. Most songs, the hook, chorus, the verse, something, they had to make it rhyme. You listen to some of the songs that I just played and then the song I'm going to play. Pay attention that the verse didn't rhyme. It didn't have to. He just used great words to tell the story of the song. That's what I find interesting and amazing. Let me say that again. Not every song had to have a rhyming hook or verse or chorus, okay? It's just words that fit the story of the song. And that hit me, and that's how come I said, let me start doing this.
and doing some shows and do some tributes of certain artists that are still here with us today, still gracing the stages, and we still go see them. It doesn't have to rhyme. Just the simplest words can be really hit songs. And I have to give credit to Brother Keith. He didn't have to see if ring rhymed with king or stand rhymed with man. He just put in the word that would fit that song to tell the story of that song, and they became hits. Think about it. I'm going to play one momentarily in a moment. I'm going to play one, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay. So someone waved their hand here. Let me open up their mic. And it is my friend out west, Miss Andrea James. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Michael, you're making me laugh.
Of course.
Well,
that's part of the show. I try to make folks laugh and think. But, yeah, I like when folks laugh.
And reminisce.
And reminisce, right. Thank you.
Oh, my God, yes. Take us back to the moment that we first heard Keith Sweat, heard his songs, did our whatever we was doing. We heard Keith Sweat. He's one of the people, when you hear his music, you stop. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And you immediately go back in time to listen to his music, yeah. Grooving, dancing, or whatever y'all was doing. But he's a timeless magical artist. I'm so thankful that you're doing this, honoring him today. So just keep it up. I love this format. It's fabulous.
Yeah, you know,
it just crossed my mind to start doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But also remember that Keith Sweat is in the baby making business, even though he didn't realize his music, it go there.
Right.
How many
that's
Keith Sweat babies we got out there? Mm-hmm.
No, you know what?
You said a woman, she asked a guy, she dating, you don't have Keith Sweat, you ain't getting no action.
There you go. I mean, that would happen. I'm sure many guys will not admit it, but that is a fact, that when Keith was hot with that first album and even the second, you know, Keith was hot and women was like, I got to hear me some Keith Sweat. I mean, just honestly, okay, let's be real. You got to play some Keith. I know you can't sing, so play Keith while we do what to do, right? You know, play some Keith. Let's be real. You know I ain't lying.
Yeah, let's be real. But at the same time, let's be responsible too.
Correct, okay. Right, and I'm right, but I'm just saying it at that era in time, Keith Sweat came on the scene at the right time. He came on with the right time because he had songs about relationships for people who were really in love but didn't want to let. Because to be honest, you had rap. And then you had gangster rap, you know, around that same time and everything, trying to be hard and everything. Keith was like, hey, look, you know, gentle with your woman, you know, let her know that you love her and this, that, and the other. And kind of like, oh, he a beggar, he a crybaby and everything. But a lot of them same folks who said that, they were playing Keith Sweat's music, okay? I don't give a damn what they say. Yes, they were. I know a few of them who would not tell them, you know the term on the down low? They're on the down low.
Yes.
You're like, man, I'm hard gangster. But when they got with their woman, baby, you want to hear some Keith? Sure, baby. Ooh, I'm going to get some. I'm just joking, but that's the truth. They're on the down low.
I understand.
So they like Keith, they have to give Keith a little bit of credit, you know, because, you know, once they pop that into the cassette player or put the record on or whatever, it helped them out because, to be honest, those songs, and many songs, not just Keith Sweat, but many artists have recorded songs that speak what you want to say, right? And that's why you play certain songs.
Y'all had music. You had them, you get them primed. you start them off mm-hmm. with a certain type of music, and then you phase into phase two, and then by the time you get into phase two, she ready for phase three. Come on.
There you go. If you look at the old Christmas song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. They started banning
mm-hmm.
that from radio stations because they said
mm-hmm.
that was like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
too suggestive.
Like a rape song. Right. Well, basically rape is what they were saying. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Like, you know, but to me, that's not what it says. He's just saying, you know, it's cold out. Baby, it's cold out. Well, why don't you stay here, you know, this and that and the other. And she's saying, no, 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 you know, but he never says anything derogative, in a sense, in the song. He's begging for her to stay. And, you know, if you want to call Keith Sweat's song begging, every man has begged for a woman at some point in time, to a certain extent.
There you go, begging Barry. Barry White, they called him begging Barry.
Yep. Right, to a certain extent. When you know you have to say something or whatever in order to, for her to accept you or whatever, or give in, I should say, that's still begging. I don't care how you look at it. Still begging. You give it in. So you guys who are listening, that's giving in.
Mm.
I may be wrong.
Also being responsible too, so.
Correct.
Is that that
I may be wrong.
What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
mm-hmm. But like Charles Barkley said,
saying,
I may
if you
be wrong,
listen to the music, you
but
got
I doubt.
To be the piper.
Right. There you go. Look,
yes.
Hold
you.
On. I'm running out of time on the show. Let me go ahead and let it go and shut down shop before they cut me off here on the TMGS. Hey, you guys, thank you for listening in to the show. I got about 2 more minutes left. Yeah. So I got enough time, but thank you for calling in, Andrea. Thank you for listening to the show.
On.
I definitely appreciate it. But it was something that I said, hey, look, you know what? I want to start doing this more often and get tribute. And as they say, give flowers now, you know. And
yes.
Keith is going to be performing at a lot of venues. There's a few other artists that, God willing, I will be doing more and getting you guys their concert dates so that you can go ahead and get your tickets now because there's some dates
for
that are coming your way.
For those who are vaccinated.
Well, yeah, depending on the venue.
Start now where you got to show proof before you go into a venue.
Correct. And get your mm-hmm. vaccine or it depends on the venue now. Some say you have to be vaccinated. Some say you have to wear a mask. It depends on where you live, wherever they're going to perform. You know, so do your homework. Check it out. See what are the, you know, the rules and regulations as far as that goes. As I said, just check it out. But it's great to see these artists doing what they love. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and let the show end. And again, I want to thank everyone for listening in. I want to thank Time and Chip, one of my co-hosts, chiming in the first hour. Appreciate you chiming. And TMGS is probably going to, at the end of this month, we're going to take a little break. And then probably for a couple of weeks and then come back and hopefully we got a little bit better or better yet, I won't say better, but something I want to do. But thank you guys so much. Love you very much. And I guess that's it. Guess I'm done. All right. I got 60 seconds. I'm trying to go ahead and type in this this track that's going to end the show. And we're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. Good night.